So encouraging. I've never been in such an encouraging group. Well, this morning I am excited to share with you. I feel like I'm ringing. Am I ringing a little? I feel loud. Anyways, you want me to back up? How about now? Is that any better? Yeah? All right. So we have been working our way through the book of Isaiah, which I don't know how many of you have found Isaiah or even find the Old Testament challenging, find it hard to read, hard to listen to, hard to navigate. I know I did when I was kind of earlier in my journey with God. I found it really hard. I actually avoided it, to be honest, a lot of times at all costs because I didn't know what to do with half of the stuff that I was reading. And so definitely it's been challenging, partly because we've been talking so much about judgment, right? The last 2 weeks, it's judgment, judgment, judgment. So this week we're going to still talk about some like challenging things, but not so much about judgment. So you can be like, oh, okay. But actually, I have grown to really love the book of Isaiah. My favorite verse in the whole Bible is actually in the book of Isaiah. It talks about how when we wait on the Lord, he renews our strength and he comes under us and he lifts us up. And it's such an incredible verse, and it's an encouraging verse. And so I encourage you, if you find parts of the Bible daunting, don't be afraid. God wants to open it up to you and wants to take you on a journey with it. So don't be afraid of the wrestle. So last week, Pastor Jeff, taught through the six woes that hold. Oh my goodness. You guys are so distracting. Just last week, they were laughing about how hard I find it to say Pastor Jeff, because he's my husband, and so I always say Jeff, you know? And so, anyways, here I was like, I'm going to say Pastor Jeff, no matter what. Anyways, last Sunday, Pastor Jeff talked through the six woes that hold really rich wisdom for us, but they point to our tendency to wander and drift from God, as he was talking about them. And this Sunday, we are going to actually continue through the book of Isaiah, but we're going to stop at chapter 40, or kind of notice something at chapter 40. There's a shift there in Isaiah. We've been really hearing, like, you know, lots of judgment, wrestling through the judgment, hearing about all this stuff. And at chapter 40, if you're reading, you're going to see there's this full, like, shift that happens. And so we're going to lean into this and talk a little bit about it, some things we can glean from it. In chapters 1 to 39, God has been like confronting Israel with the truth of their disobedience and calling them to change their heart posture from rebellion to repentance, okay? So as we're listening to all this judgment, there's a call in there that God is giving them. Come, repent, repent. And so in chapter 40, as we step into there, we actually hear God's tone change from confrontational to comforting, which is so fascinating because it's literally so abrupt. Comfort is actually not something that God just provides, but it's actually who he is. We can see this all throughout the Bible. We can hear it in God's father heart of God, comforting here in chapter 40 of Isaiah, and actually after you can hear it repeated. We see Jesus comforting his disciples in many different places, but specifically there's a spot where he's talking to them in John chapter 14. 2 Corinthians 7:6 talks about God being our comfort, and our wonderful Father in heaven sent us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And you can see that the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter when we see Jesus talking to his disciples as he's about to go up into heaven. He says, listen, I must go, but I am going to send you, or the Father is going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting how he describes the Comforter, because he doesn't say he'll make you feel so good and awesome. He says he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I've taught you. And so I think that that's so neat how that's meshed with comfort. In looking at God moving from confrontation to comfort in the book of Isaiah, there's a couple of things I want us to glean from it today. First of all, as an unchanging God, the tone of the message changed, but the person of God did not. And so Isaiah came with this confrontational message that started to start with, but then shifted to a message of comfort. Whether he confronts or comforts, God is still comfort, he's still love, but he's also still holy and he's still just through all of it, through comfort and through confrontation. The thing that changed was his tone. And as secondly, as God's representative, Isaiah needed to give the message with the intended tone. In order to convey the message properly, with God's heart of love, comfort, justice, and holiness being expressed, he had to say it well. He had to bring the heart of the message, not just the words, right? The interesting thing is, as we accept the fact that even in correction, God is still love and comfort, we start to also recognize that there's comfort in correction and boundaries. We can see this through the Psalms. How many of you have spent any time in the Psalms? And you can see that there's this comfort in God's laws and his rule and his correction that the psalmists often speak about. And you can hear it actually in the famous Psalm 23. Many of us go to this one when we're feeling like we're really wrestling, right? This is one that's quoted. It talks about God bringing us to pastures and him being a good shepherd. And it uses these specific words to say that they're comforting. It talks about his rod and staff being comforting. But these are actually tools of discipline, protection, and guidance for the sheep. And so I also find that so fascinating. The shepherd uses these to keep sheep safe, not just fight off the intruders, but to also pull them back, to help them stay where they need to be. So as we read through parts of the Bible and we talk about judgment, we can be tempted to kind of remove love from the equation. When we're reading those words of judgment, sometimes we hear them completely from a different tone, don't we? Superimposing human judgment onto God, but human judgment is limited. It's broken. It's imperfect. So when we superimpose that on it, we're actually missing some of the message, aren't we? But God is not human. He is perfect, and therefore his judgment always comes from a heart of love, not from a heart of bitterness or rage. Isaiah so beautifully presents this understanding because it's a book. Yes, absolutely. The prophecies are about judgment, a lot of them. But they have judgment with hope and restoration in the heart of them. So let's read the very first words of chapter 40 to see this shift from judgment to comfort. Isaiah 40, 1 to 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of hard service is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So when we read through books like Isaiah, we can feel like God's mood has literally swung, right? That he has these mood swings. He's furious, and then he's soft. But we need to look at them as this is a tone shift rather than a mood shift. God's not moody. I know as humans, it's so hard for us to wrap our head around this. We have experienced so many times in our life, including in our own hearts, where confrontation and comfort come from completely different postures, completely different heart postures towards somebody. However, and how many times have we experienced and even expressed offense from a posture of bitterness, hatred, rejection, and the like? I know I have. I've both experienced it, and I've dished it out, even if it's only in my own head, right? When we really need to read it, more like a parent responding to a child insisting on doing something dangerous. If a child insists on running into a busy street, it would be unloving for a parent to just ignore it, wouldn't it? It'd be so unloving if the parent was like, oh, they'll figure it out. I can't possibly tell them no, you know? Or to do nothing or to give no warning. It would be so unloving. Instead, the parent that chooses to put a fence around the child, to restrain the child from running into certain death, is the one who loves them. The one who tells a child, if you continue to run into the road, I'm going to have to take you into the house, or I'm going to have to put you in the backyard where there's a fence, or I'm going to have to hold on to you. The one who uses a voice and tone of warning and correction is the loving parent, isn't it? How do we speak if we see a child running into the road? We're not like, Johnny, hey, Johnny, can you please not run into the road? We're like, Johnny, you know, get back here. You know, we speak with urgency. We speak with firmness. Our tone is like alarming because what's about to happen is alarming, right? So when we read the Bible through this, we recognize this truth, that a loving God is one who gives stern warning when a people are running towards certain death, which is what the Israelites were doing. Yes, God has the long view. He can see tens and hundreds of years down the road. And he can see where the attitude of their heart, where the actions that they're doing are leading them. And so he talks to them sometimes with alarm. And he does that in our own lives too. God is perfect and therefore doesn't react. He's not like, you know, flipping out all over the place, right? But rather responds to our offensive behavior. He's not coming at us with exasperation and rejection, but love. Exasperation is a tone that I used to struggle with so badly in parenting. And often I would hear, as I would read through the Bible or as God would bring correction into my life, exasperation from him. But that's not what he was talking to me with. It was correction in love. He's offering a path that leads us how to recognize how our sin is hurting us. And in the end, is leading us to destruction. When he comes with alarm, when he comes with correction, he's saying, listen, this is going to lead you to destruction. We talked about destruction last week, didn't we? So Hebrews 12, 5 to 11 actually talks about God's loving discipline for us. And let's read it together here. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which we have all participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides, we have had earthly fathers who have disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For in the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I love that verse. As followers of Christ, we can forget that God needs to discipline us, or even be afraid of God's discipline. But God's discipline is loving, stern, and with immovable boundaries. He doesn't backhand us unexpectedly or give us the silent treatment, shutting us out because he's angry. That's not how God works. He lovingly invites us to follow him and submit, but also allows our decisions to ignore his instructions to reveal where they will actually lead and where our hearts are hard. Once we embrace God's discipline, we start to recognize that it is a form of comfort as well. It gives a sense of security, knowing that God will, when you're wandering off, he'll come to you, that he's paying attention, that he intentionally speaks and guides you, that he's specific, and that he's present in your journey. And when this is realized, we no longer expect correction to come with a tone of exasperation or malice, but rather hear his voice tender and firm, instructing us. So as you read Isaiah, read through this lens. As you read through the Old Testament, as you read through the corrective scriptures, read from this lens, that it's his loving correction. Here in chapter 40, as God shifts from confronting to comfort, he is saying, you have recognized that I am the one who can lead you to life and are ready to listen. I picture again, you know, after a parent corrects a child, them going to them and taking them on their lap once the child kind of stops being resistant and saying, you know, like, and connecting with them. I picture it like God taking us on his lap, this shift, and saying, okay, now let's work through this. You know? And I love that reconnection moment. discipline's hard. As a parent, it's hard to discipline your kids. It feels like you're knocking heads. It can leave your heart raw. But once the child puts their guard down and is willing to receive their correction, you can go in and just talk about it. You can go in and have that comforting moment of talking through and reconnecting. So I feel like Isaiah 40 is kind of like that moment where God pulls Israel on his lap and says, okay, I love you. Let's move from here. Let's work together. I have the way of life to lead you. Just as God instructs Isaiah to change his prophetic tone and not the truth of what he was speaking, so should we pay attention to the truth of God's word and the tone in which we share it. This can be challenging, well, usually is challenging for all of us. To convey the comfort of God to Israel, who are now in captivity, Isaiah changes his tone from confrontation to comfort. God is unchanging, and yet how he wishes to communicate the truth requires us to match his tone. Tone is actually one of the most difficult aspects of communication, is it not? Especially if you're wrestling through a hard spot. It can be so hard to keep your tone in a good spot. But you think about even like digital communication. Tone is practically impossible to share. This is one of the hurdles of digital communication. It's actually why probably emojis were created and people like them so much, because they can give tone to something that's just words. When text when we text or share on social media, people will hear through their experiences, their fears, their judgments, their hang-ups, past interactions with you, what they think you're thinking. We inject into these spaces what we're carrying. And so we actually have to be so careful. The tone that is received is sometimes not at all what we're intending or what we're trying to send it with. So we must be so mindful of this when we communicate digitally, that we make sure that the tone is clear. And if it's confrontational, that we actually do it in person, if at all possible. It's actually a rule Jeff and I have in our marriage that we will never deal with conflict through text. If we come up to conflict, we'll deal with it in person, because I can't hear what he's actually trying to say. I can't see the tenderness. I can't see the hurt. I can't see anything. I just hear words. And I inject into that judgment, you know, I inject tone. I can inject sarcasm. And so we won't deal with conflict other than in person. Or if we have to, if we're far away, we do it on the phone. Tone changes a whole lot about what we're saying. It can completely change the message. Think about, say, the word sure. This was a hang-up word for me earlier in our marriage. And he used it all the time to say, yes, of course. He would say, sure. And I would hear more like, sure. You know, like almost like a dismissive sure. That's not at all what he was trying to do. Or even, has anybody used the word sure sarcastically? Like, sure, whatever, you know. That one word has so many different meanings depending on the tone you put into it. So think about, as we read the word of God, or even as we communicate the word of God, we need to make sure we're getting the tone of what is being said. The tone we use to share unchangeable truths regarding who God is matters. It matters so much. The truth matters, but the tone matters, because the tone changes the truth. It can take it from conviction to condemnation. It can take it also from conviction to dismissive. It's fine. It's no big deal. God cares about both the accuracy of the message and the tone we use to deliver it. So how often do you slow down to understand both what God is saying and how he's saying it, and then how we should say it? I can't say that I've actually slowed down sometimes. I've just got hung up on, what is this about? Instead of going, like, how is God actually trying to say this to me? His love and truth as confrontation is direct, forceful, and drives you to a place of decision. It causes you to have to go and say, am I choosing my way or God's way? But it's clear, it's direct. It absolutely is confrontational. It absolutely is not comfortable. His love and truth is comfort, is tender, reassuring, reminding us that we're not alone. Oops. Don't do that. You can limit the sound of God's voice to a pitch you prefer, though, can't we? Because, and then this causes us to miss out on the expansive and beautiful way that God speaks to us through his word. And we all kind of lean in one direction or another. You know, for people to experience the love and truth of God, which are one and the same, as his followers, we need to be aware of the fact that we tend to tilt toward one way or another of communicating his truth. And it is actually necessary for us to learn to hear, accept, and speak the truth in the appropriate tones. It's necessary. This is a part of us maturing as Christians, learning how to do this. Some of us lean more towards like that justice and truth side and can actually come across quite aggressive or even angry to people. And it's not that the truth or the justice is wrong or even our tilt in that direction, but it may be the tone that we bring it with. We have to learn some new tones maybe of bringing that truth. And then others of us kind of only want to sound tender and soft and, oh, it's okay, and make people feel better, right? And so that leaning towards the more assertive, we kind of veer away from it. But then we need to learn a new tone to speak truth, because that soft and like, it's okay, doesn't necessarily speak what God's trying to share. I learned this earlier in my life when I was quite young. People would still come and confide in me, but when they come and confide in me, I'd be like, I'd only want to speak tender. I'd never want to share hard truths. I'd never want to make anybody uncomfortable. I'd never want to say, actually, this is not going to help you. I know you want to feel like I absolutely am with you in this, but I can't say that what you're choosing is good. I never wanted to say that. And then if people came at me aggressively, I would become hard. I would become, you know, I would become defensive. And so then I'd want to speak the truth or just not speak at all in a harsh, closed off way. And this didn't benefit either. This just made people wall up. Neither one of these actually helped me speak the truth of who Jesus is well. I discovered that comfort without the needed confrontation was just pacifying. And pacifying when comfort is needed or confrontation is needed is not loving at all, because it actually does not lead to wholeness. It leads to cyclical living. It leads people to stay in the very thing they need to get out of. I was in effect feeding the very thing that was keeping them in bondage when I pacified. And then I also learned that confrontation without comfort causes people to harden and close off. When I came at them and just like was aggressive or didn't share things or pause and listen to what they had to say and then share things kindly, but like assertively, I didn't represent Jesus either. I just caused them to wall up and not want to hear anything about who God is. So as I got to know God better, I recognized that I wanted to represent the Comforter as the Comforter actually is. I wanted to be able to speak truth that brought people closer to God, but I didn't want to just make them feel like everything was okay either. I wanted to speak as God was speaking. And I had to ask myself, you know, what does my tone reflect? Is it dismissive of the person? Is it hard or fearful? Am I rejecting them in my heart and then having that come out? Am I condemning them? Or am I inviting them to discover who God is, to lean in closer, to find answers? Is it pointing at the places of need with brokenness or with hope? Is what I'm bringing causing heaviness? Or is it causing there to be hope there? In reading Isaiah, we see God not only care about the truth, but the tone. So imagine, if you will, being far from home, captive in a foreign land. You are there because of your rebellion, repeated rebellion against the Lord. For a season, you weren't ready to accept why or how you got there. You didn't want to hear the truth. You were resistant. And while you were digging in your heels in pride or disobedience, God was lovingly speaking in confrontation. He was firm. Over time, though, you come to accept why you are where you are. And God, who is our perfect Heavenly Father, extends the same truth, but only with a different tone, with comfort. He's still saying, listen, follow me. I am the way. I am the one who has life for you. My rules are good. My guidance is good. He's still saying all that with a completely different tone. This is our journey with God, is it not? Have we not all been far from God? And then when God confronted us with our sin, we felt the weight of our brokenness, of our rebellious life. And as conviction worked on our hearts, did it not invite us to turn and soften our hearts toward him? There we encountered his grace, his comfort. You know, sometimes when we're encountering his confrontation, we actually want to run from it. You know? But God, even in his confrontation, is saying, I have life for you. I have good for you. What I offer you, the path I have for you, is the best. It wasn't God who changed, right? When we encountered God, when we came out from under that heaviness and encountered his grace and accepted his grace, it wasn't God that changed. It was us. It was our ability to hear him. Listen to this powerful verse that the Lord has Isaiah speak to the Israelites in chapter 43. Now, this is what the Lord says. The one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, and the flame will not burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. This is God's message for Israel after, you know, this is 43. So after he said, okay, comfort, comfort my people, and they had softened themselves to God. This is after they had gone, okay, God, we hear you. All that idolatry, all the chasing after the things of this world, we're going to leave it behind. We hear you. We need you. And then he says this to them, and this is God's message, not just to Israel, but to us. He says, whatever you're walking through, I am with you. But we first have to go to that place of submission where he's saying, listen, please. And we may have already said, yes, God, I'm yours. But there may be areas where God's saying, you can feel that firm message from God saying, this is not what I have for you. This is not going to lead to life. You may even feel the weight of the path you're on. But God is saying, come, 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 come to me. And he wants us to extend that message. You may be looking at someone around you and going like, oh, the path they're on is not going to lead to life. And you want to tell them, or maybe you don't want to tell them, you just hope they'd learn, figure it out. God wants us to bring his messages with his tone. Do you need to learn to listen to God's different tones as loving? You know, have you found that when you read something where God's correcting, or even hear God's correction, or even feel like God is asking you to go to somebody with correction, it's harsh and angry and vengeful and like he's just, you know, exasperated? Or do you hear a loving God saying, don't go in that road? This is certain death. It's such a different tone. To a lost and broken world, do you also need to discover how to match your tone to the message you wish to communicate from God's word? God wants to teach us all his loving truth in the tones he intends. And the only way to hear his truth, the way he intends, and as a result, share it as he intends, is to know him. It's the only way. How hard is it sometimes to read people you don't know? Have any of you met somebody and you're like, I cannot get a read? And then you leave and you're like, were they sarcastic? Were they like, did they mean what they said? Has anybody been there? I know I have. Lots of times, right? If we don't know God, we are never going to know what he's actually trying to say. We will put into it all our experiences. Hard enough not to do that when you are like, I know God loves me. But if you don't keep leaning in and getting to know him, you will miss the tone he's trying to send the message with. And you will misread what he's trying to tell you. This week, give this a try. Okay? Read chapter 10 from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see if you can see the consistent loving truth of Jesus, but also the different ways he speaks. So God is loving in every single one of those. And really, as you read through the Gospels, you'll see, oh, like, it's the same story over and over, you know? But you can see there's sometimes different tones in there. Take some time and really get to know God. Who is this God who is correcting and comforting? And how does he convey these messages so that we can, as we go out, be the fragrance of the Lord to each other? Encourage one another. When somebody's starting to stumble down a road, be able to lovingly call them back instead of, you know, like, what's wrong with you? You know? Or just like hoping and praying that God somehow hits them with lightning or something and they find out. I don't know, you know? Like, God asks us to go to each other and bring hard messages sometimes. And I find sometimes we don't want to do that, so we just pray harder that they'll hit that wall. But God is sometimes saying, I want you to go and talk to them. And we don't need to be afraid. We just need to stay near to Jesus, and he'll show us how. To convey the richness of a song, a musician needs to use different tones. You know, the songs we sing, they're not just one tone. When you hear beautiful harmonies, how awesome is it? How much more do you and I need to learn the same idea, different tones, to tell the world the greatest story? They need the fullness of who God is, not just one tone. So let's bring that. Let's bring that as we bring the message of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you're patient and kind and comforting, but you are also holy. You are our shepherd who corrects us, who stands in the gap for us. You are the one who intercedes on our behalf, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the one who guides us. You're the one who absolutely puts a fence around us when we're running towards something that's dangerous. You're the one who allows us to feel the weight of sin when we need to, and then pulls us on your lap and says, okay, now let's figure out how to leave this behind. I have the path of life for you. God, I pray for each person in this room that your heart of love would come through in whatever season they're currently in. God, that as we encounter your correction, as we encounter your comfort, we would not think you're a one-dimensional God, but God, that you have the path of life, and in it, You will correct us. You will comfort us. You will give us joy. You have peace for us. And God, I just pray that as we bring the message of your gospel, we would bring it in the fullness of who you are. Holy Spirit, you are incredible. Empower us to walk out the things that you have for us. When the message is corrective, God, I pray we would rely on your Holy Spirit to show us how to bring that message. And God, when the message is in comfort, show us how to bring that comforting message, Lord. We are your hands and feet, and we love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.